To another episode of Roll or Die. Today's guest has been on a lot of people's request list to me for quite a long time. So anybody that's been in the doing jiu-jitsu scene in Australia will know this guy. And those of you that don't know him will know him really well after this this episode. He's actually, I think, the first black belt that Peter Dabin gave here in Melbourne, so he's probably one of the first black belts in Melbourne. Been around the scene for a really long time. Really lovely guy. Welcome, Ivan Radicic.
Thank you, Kim. Thanks for that introduction, Anton. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Can we also use your name? It sounds like you sound more like a tennis player name, because I think it's got the name Racket in it, right?
Yeah.
Is it Racketic? Racketic? How do you actually pronounce that name?
Well, it's been pronounced many kind of different ways, Anton. So you've got Radadic, you've got Racketic, you've got Racketic, or you've got the way that I think it's supposed to be pronounced with it, which is Racketic. So good luck with that one.
What's your background? What ancestry?
So my heritage is Croatian, Kim. And I was born in Australia, and you know, here we are.
Awesome, man.
Home.
Awesome. And you've got the greatest haircut known to man as well. And one I really respect.
Hey, this is a true BJJ haircut, this one.
Yeah, Kim's jealous right now. She's like, why can't I have that?
Oh, look, it's the only thing keeping me feminine to have the hair, please. And so that's a nice place to start, actually, Ivan. So tell us about, like, your roots and how you discovered jiu-jitsu, because it sounds like you probably were one of the early adopters of jiu-jitsu in Australia. How did you discover it? Connections off. Ivan, can you hear him, Anton?
It's coming and going. He's frozen.
No.
Well, we're waiting for him to come back.
You see me? Okay.
Ivan. Wait, your connection seems to be a bit sporadic. I don't know if you can hear us. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you guys, you got me?
And then we better do
something. Now we do.
We better switch to carrier pigeon technology.
I just delete that bit in the middle, right?
No, we never
That's cool. We've got a good editor. It's very good.
How messy this gets, we just keep going. It's like my jiu-jitsu.
So I'm back. You can hear me okay?
Yeah.
But yeah, could you start again? Sorry, we missed the beginning of that.
Yeah. No worries, Kim. So basically where started was
it's probably not gonna work. Like we can't hear. It's in and out. So if you got a different internet connection you could switch to, perhaps.
Or sometimes even using it on a phone.
Man, you're
that's totally fine. And it's no stress because if we can't make like no matter what, we're going to do this interview. You're obviously awesome, but we need to have the internet.
Well, I'm here for you guys.
It was only when we started recording. Weird.
Maybe.
I mean, we can keep talking, boys. I mean, sometimes.
Your voice goes in and out, Ivan. That's the problem. It's like echoey.
Oh, do you want me to go on a mobile?
Try it. Yeah.
Try
it on your mobile.
I reckon.
Yeah.
All right. Let me log off here and I'll go on my phone.
All right. That's fine. So while
are we staying here, Anton, or are we going to log off?
I'm going to do this. So while we're waiting for Ivan to disconnect and reconnect, Kim and Theo have sent me a little gift in the mail. It's got my name on it. And I'm going to take a look. I'm very excited about this. Ooh.
Yes, we have merchandise now for our listeners.
We got merch.
Merchandise. So
we got merch.
Anton's trying on the white t-shirt. There's also a black t-shirt that we have, and we are in discussion to hopefully arrange some rashies because rash guards.
This is awesome.
Hello. Look at that. That's a good fit.
It is. I like it a lot.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah, I think that's a medium, Anton, and you are normally an A2 gi. Is that right?
I am. I don't know how long it'll... Yeah.
I don't know how long it'll fit. as that.
Yeah, that's great. So we're going to,
yeah.
We should do some merch. We're going to do rash guards, aren't we? We're going to do t-shirts.
Yes. I think we've already, we've got the stickers already and some key rings.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's try and branch out. So listeners, we'll post on the page when they're available for purchase. And yeah, looking at getting your roll or die gear to you as soon as possible.
That's awesome.
All right. Here comes Ivan again.
Hey, Ivan.
We've got him back. Can you hear us now, Ivan? Sure.
Maybe he's
we have had some tech issues, haven't we, over the time?
Yep.
It happens from time to time.
Sort of. It's sort of coming in and out, Kim.
Yeah, same for us.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell?
Might not be our lucky day, Tim.
And I don't see Anton.
Location for you, Ivan, to do this from.
Like within the house, you mean? Yeah, maybe it's something to do with where the Wi-Fi connection is.
Yeah.
Because sometimes video as well as sound, it's too much for like the connection. That's my tech brain as much as I can kind of explain it. But
how's that now?
That's better. I reckon still same low bandwidth, but I can hear you. Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Want to give it a shot?
Let's keep going.
Persevere. Yep. All right. So, sorry, tell us again how you got started in jiu-jitsu.
So it was around either 1990 or 91, Kim. I was doing karate and everything else. And I always, at the forefront of my mind, always realism was sort of at the forefront of my mind. And I remember Blitz Martial Arts magazine, and it had an advertisement in it with Horion Gracie. And it was Chuck Norris was endorsing it, and it was saying real fights and, you know, so on and so forth. And back then it was VHS videos, and I was like, I've got to get this. I've got to see what this is about.
Wow.
And when I saw that, I was like, man, this is awesome. I just love this. I have to know about this. I have to do this. And the video was entitled Gracie Jiu-Jitsu in Action. And I basically went to the karate club and got a hold of one of my students and said, come here, get on the ground. And we rolled around for about 15 minutes and somehow I pulled off an armbar, and I don't even know how I did it. But, yeah, that's sort of where it began.
Wow.
So back then.
Hey, I just also did a quick Google. I think if I share my screen here, Gracie, I've never heard of this video footage before, but Gracie Jiu-Jitsu in Action.
Come on, Anton. How have you never heard of this jiu-jitsu video before?
I don't know. This is famous. Born under a rock or something, but yeah. Okay, so that's gonna be my home. We're gonna check it out. It looks amazing, like already.
Yeah,
I'm fascinated.
If you haven't got it, folks, get it.
Yeah, awesome. It's on YouTube, luckily, so it's not gonna be too much of a stretch for them. And Blitz Magazine, man. So many people have referenced Blitz Magazine over there. You know, the OGs, as Kim would say, like you, man. Like, definitely. Yeah. Like, Blitz Magazine was a big part of the introduction back in the day. It was a huge piece of the information.
So, go on, Ivan. So then where was the transition between you rolling around with your student and then discovering an actual jiu-jitsu club in Melbourne, in Victoria?
So back then, Kim, I think Pete was in Torquay, and I don't even know if Pete had discovered it then or he was on his way to Brazil to check it out. And so for me and my journey, it was like we didn't have the internet back then, as we know. So I basically went to the closest thing that I thought would be, you know, near enough to jiu-jitsu, which was judo. So I went to Arthur Moorshead's club in Caulfield, and sort of started doing judo, and I was pestering the guys there, you know, let's get on the ground, let's do niwaza. You don't understand what I've seen, you know, like forget this touchy waza standing up throwing, you know, let's just get on the ground. You just don't know, you know, you got to get down here.
Yeah.
And, but you know, in a way it was great because those guys there and the girls helped me develop my throwing skills, you know. So, I mean, my first martial art was judo when I was 9. So it was sort of, I went back to my roots in a sense. So it was pretty cool too, you know, and yeah, it was a wonderful experience there. So, you know, but again, I was sort of frustrated because it's like they wanted to stay standing and I was like, no, man, let's get on the ground and do it down there, you know.
Yeah. What were they like and, about that? Were they like, no, what we're doing is better, you don't need that? Or were they just not interested? Like, what was their stance on that whole situation?
I think because Arthur was producing competitors, you know, for the Australian Olympic team and that. So it was more geared towards the sports side of things, which is obviously with judo, it's, throwing and getting ip on with your throw and getting a full point and so on and so forth. So a lot of it was geared to throwing because of the rules as such, you know.
Okay.
And sort of I stayed there for 2-3 years, I think it was. And then I think it was around 1995, Carlos Gracie, Peter set up a seminar with Carlos Gracie, Gordo, and I think it was Marcelo, one of the guys, with Gracie Baja. And I think it was in Elizabeth Street at the YWCA. So there's a bit of nostalgia for you.
Wow. Wow. Yeah,
speaking of nostalgia, you might not remember me, Ivan. I used to come to Peter Debean back with my ex-husband back in the 90s, and I think you were a purple belt at the time. It was like, it was like a god, you know, because there was just all these white belts, a couple of blues, and so you really did come up through the scene in Australia where there was just hardly any coloured belts, yeah?
Oh, thanks, Kim. I appreciate that, you know. Maybe I was just one of the lucky ones, I think, at that time that just realised the effectiveness and how just wonderful this incredible art is, whereas a lot of other people had resistance to it, you know, especially some stand-up people and so on. And it's understandable, you know, but for me it was like, no, I've got to know this. This is a big piece of the puzzle that I need to learn, you know, and I was lucky. I was one of the early ones, you know, so.
Has there ever been a time where you've been like, I'm done, you know, like, because obviously you've been around the block a few times by now, you know, do you go through stages where like, you could take it or leave it, or is it just such a huge part of your identity? That's not an option.
No, never, Anton. Like it is me.
Yeah.
You know, it truly is. Like a lot of martial arts, it's a way of life.
Mm.
You know, it wouldn't be me without it. You know, like I was meant to have neck surgery and like I was in a bad way at one stage. I got, cut a long story short, got hit on the head with a pole. Disc was playing up and, you know, the surgeon sort of, I saw him on Tuesday and he said, Thursday I can get you in. And I said to him, well, can I train after that? And he said, your training days are over. And I walked out. I said, mate, I'll get back to you. I went home and just laid on the couch until it healed, you know.
Wow.
So that's sort of, you know, a little indication of like, don't take that away from me. I'm not going to, you know, it's not happening, you know.
Fascinating.
So there you go. Part of me is me.
Yeah, I get it. I can relate completely.
Yeah. And Ivan, you're pretty passionate about men's mental health. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Kim, it's I've been doing like hypnotherapy and then got into more sort of the therapy side of things over the last, I mean, probably at the start of COVID. That's where it sort of, I think it all started for me. Another long story, I've got a friend who's best friends with Mike Tyson, and he said to me, read this book, you know, about Mike. We all sort of contributed to it. You know, you'll enjoy it. And as I was reading it, Customato, Mike's old trainer, he was taking fighters to get hypnosis. And I was like, man, I remember this back, you know, when I was 20, I was interested in the whole mindset and all of that stuff and hypnosis. And I thought to myself, you know, why not dig into this, you know? And that's where it sort of started with that, and then the therapy. And for the last few years, I've been delving into that. I saw about 100 people last year with what I'm doing, and I absolutely love it. Just
you're a hypnotherapist.
Yeah.
Amazing, man. I quit smoking once with hypnotherapy, and I quit smoking. I don't smoke. So, yeah, that was like what was the access for me to quitting smoking, and that wasn't easy. So, yeah, hypnotherapy gave me a real boost, you know, in what I was doing. I definitely.
Yeah, it's
great.
Not awesome.
What other sort of things? What other sort of things do people see you for with hypnotherapy besides smoking?
Oh, God, Kim. Like last night, I worked with a smoker from the UK, weight loss, you know, like relationship things. And it's really interesting to touch on it. Like to give you an example, one lady, with her permission, I've been allowed to talk about this, but, the whole weight loss thing was a struggle. But when I delved into what actually the problem was when she was a young girl, she got wolf whistled, and to sort of her unconscious mind to protect her, because she got afraid of that because she was young, said, put weight on and that'll protect me from being, you know, getting that unwanted attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then throughout her life, she's had weight on her, and that's always been a struggle. So it goes much deeper than what people think, you know, the surface of things. So you never get bored with it anyway, you know.
Okay. I'd be fascinated to get a, I talked about this with our last guest, but like my competition mindset, just I have not been able to dial it in. So I'd be like, my competition history is horrible, right? And so I'd be really interested to get some hypnotherapy about, you know, about the opening part of my match, you know what I mean? And how I, mindset there, I think, you know, from a sports performance, why not, you know? Like that could be an
interesting story. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's something there, Anton, that's may be inhibiting you or something that's happened in the past. And you start digging into these things and you'd be amazed at some of the stories that come out. And everyone's different.
Absolutely.
So it's really, it's fascinating. I love it. It's another love. Man.
I might
I've
follow
been lucky enough.
The show, man. We can organize something. We'll do a little. We'll put me in the lab.
We can do it as live. Let's do it live. Yes. If you're up for that, Anton, we get out.
I'm absolutely keen. Yeah.
I mean, could you share any tips at all? Like, I don't know, from that side of things at all for our listeners in terms of competition at all. Do you have any, like, from your knowledge, both as a hypnotherapist and as a jiu-jitsu practitioner? So many years.
Oh God, Kim, like advice. Like I can only speak about myself, really, you know. And like I had great training partners too. So shout out, if I can do a quick shout out to Jamie Bunn, Andrew Humphreys, Wardy, and Sir Lancelot always gave me hell, you know. Those guys always pushed me, you know, to give it my absolute best in training. I think I just had this for myself. It was like I think I had this romanticism with the Japanese samurai and never giving up. And you get knocked down 7 times, get back up 8. So that was always in my mind, you know. I read a wonderful book called Musashi by Eiji Yoshikawa, and you know, that really inspired me in a lot of ways, guys. So, you know, that sort of was my mindset. It was like, just keep going, you know. And there was days I couldn't breathe. I was exhausted, stuck underneath the guys, sipping for air. And I was just like, while I can still get that little bit of air, I'm not tapping unless you get me,
Awesome.
So... yeah, so that's what I would say. In training, the way that you train is how you're going to go out and battle in your matches, you know. So, but just be careful of injuries, guys, you know. You want to be sensible too, you know. So, but those guys brought out the best in me for sure.
That's great. Other than your neck, actually, one thing is, if you read get knocked down 7 times, get back up 8 in a samurai book, man, I don't want to get knocked down 7 times with the samurai sword. I'll tell you that now. But anyway, That aside, other injuries that you've faced in your kind of journey, like you've got your, you had your neck thing going on. What else? And that wasn't even jiu-jitsu related, but what have you had to, what kind of injury adversity have you had to face?
How long have you got?
About another 15 minutes.
Like, I'll do a quick sweep, all right? Okay. So I had a shin operation where they had to shave my bone where I clashed shins kicking. I've had two knee recos. Wow. I've had one, two, three, four hand surgeries.
Wow.
Nose has been busted like six times, probably been operated on five. Plastic in my eye socket.
What
all
the?
from either training or, you know, working.
But these are not all jiu-jitsu injuries, are they? Do you do other martial arts as well?
Yeah, 100%, Kim. Look, you know, with jiu-jitsu injuries, it's mainly been, God, I think the worst jiu-jitsu injury that I had was a knee reco.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, I don't want to put people off because I think I had more injuries training in other arts that were like more striking based than jiu-jitsu. So
you heard it here, everybody. Ivan says jiu-jitsu is completely safe and injury free. That's lying.
It's the gentle art.
Well, look, they're lying to a little bit, but look, honestly, in my humble opinion, like you're pushing yourselves. You know, you're into it. So, I mean, I had intercostals, you know, but like really, though, that was really it, guys, you know. So
great.
When you consider that compared to another art, it's pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah.
You know.
Joe Rogan talks about that. It's like he's like, jiu-jitsu is the only kind of real martial art that you can go 100% at.
Yeah.
And really not necessarily get injured, you know, whereas you can, you cannot do that in any sort of striking art or anything, or what, you know, weapons art, anything like that. And it is one of the true privileges of jiu-jitsu is that we can go flat out and just tap when the time's right. And as long as we get to the tap early enough, we're safe.
Yeah, agreed, Anton. And that you've got to think, guys, like 10 and a half years I was at Pete's, and, you know, that was really it. Intercostals from twisting. Probably because silly me didn't warm up, and a knee injury. And over 10 and a half years, that's a pretty good bloody record. Guys, honestly, like, we were going at it, you know? Like, we were going at it. We weren't, like, you know, sitting back. Like, we were trying to get each other every role.
Awesome.
So, so that's pretty good track record, you know?
That's great.
And what about now, Ivan? Are you still training much jiu-jitsu now?
Yeah, for sure, Kim. Like, I have about half a dozen privates that I do from home. Recently, I've started teaching at a sort of a Muay Thai karate school in Somerville. And I go up there once a week in the mornings and train some of the guys. And, yeah, so that's sort of where my training's at. And it's more self-defense based now. But so that's sort of where I'm at with training, you know. And my son, you know, just, well, both my sons are just, you know, I'm passing the legacy on to them and they're giving me a hard time now. So
that's great.
Cool.
Actually, it's not like you've come full circle back to the self-defense, because, you know, that's where you started with this journey with the judo. You were trying to convince them about the self-defense angle. So it's always been something that you've been focused on, right?
100%, Anton. Like, for me, it was always about self-defense for me, you know. You know, at Pete's, even when I was at Pete's, it was the forefront of my mind. It was always about that, you know, learning about sort of the self-defense side of it. I mean, I competed because it was like, that's what we did, you know. It was like, comps are on, and it's like, okay, you compete. And I'm like, okay, well, that's good too, because people get to experience nerves, adrenaline, the psychology, you know, of like, oh, how am I going to do, you know? This guy looks scary. How am I going to, you know, negotiate? Oh, he's Brazilian, you know?
Yes.
That in the early days was a big deal.
Absolutely.
You know?
It is even now. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
So, we had to negotiate those things back then, you know, and because we were really like sort of the first competitors, I think, you know, for Pete, because it was early days, you know. So we were walking onto the mat with this new art and, you know, going through all these experiences, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And what do you think about the jiu-jitsu now, like the new school jiu-jitsu or what have you? It seems like jiu-jitsu has changed a bit since you commenced, or do you think it's pretty much still essentially the same? What are your thoughts around that?
For me personally, Kim, I think it's changed a lot. And where can I see, again, for me it was, I like simplicity. You know, I like Marcelo Garcia's sort of game where, you know, even though it's more sport orientated, it's very, for me, what I observe, it's very, this simplicity about it. And even Hodger Gracie, you know. Whereas when I see all these technical components and moves, and to me, there's a lot of things that can go wrong. I might be right, I might be wrong. It's a long time since I sort of, you know, been in that, you know, that field.
Damn,
but I like
it's like that bandwidth is playing up. Yeah.
I'm still hearing you. I'm still hearing you. So
you can see him? Okay.
But I tell you what, guys, like the new crop that are coming through, they're so creative and there's so many new things that are going on, especially leg attacks. You know, it's phenomenal. You know, it's all he is. They're athletes and they're creative and they're explorers. But for me, I'm sort of at that age where it's like, just don't get punched in the head while you're in the guard and try and armbar them, you know?
Yeah. And it's all valid. I think that's where I've come to personally is like, it is an art and therefore it's a self-expression. And there's like technical art and then there's like straight up precision art, and then there's timing art, and then like there's flary and fancy art. There's all sorts of kinds, and that's what actually makes the matchups interesting. Like you get a fancy person with a simple person, you know, and that creates an interesting matchup, you know. So let's go, you know. That's how I see it. It's like bring on all the variants, because if everyone just had the same style, it would be actually really boring to watch jiu-jitsu, I reckon, after a certain amount of time. But you know, you get like a great Jones
You're right, Anton. It does bring a more of an interest into everything, you know. And like I said, some of the guys now and the girls that are competing, it's like they're doing some phenomenal things, you know. You know, from, you know, half guard and taking the back and all these different positions where we were scrambling a lot. You know, back in my time, it was like, you know, we were just scrambling to get to certain positions because, you know, we didn't have access to the internet and we were creating, you know, what we knew where we were.
Yeah.
So it's definitely evolved in that sense for sure.
I agree. And one of the things I've noticed is like, and maybe Kim, you'd notice this as well, but especially like in women's divisions, etc., but people are able to survive much longer in bad positions, it seems like, but not by toughing it out. They're making these really micro technical adjustments, which give them that little bit of space. And then from there, they start, you know, like there's a real technicality in the survival and in the transition back out of dangerous situations, which like put me on the edge of my seat. It's like, how is their arm not coming out of the socket or whatever? But they're just doing it so well now.
Or in my case, it did.
Yeah, that's true.
Bad example, Anton.
Sorry, Kim.
The thing that I'd add, guys, you know, honestly, is like, and I'd encourage everyone to at least every now and again throw strikes into your training, even slaps, even open-handed. It doesn't have to be, you know, something that's hard, hitting each other hard, but just making each other aware that you know, you're vulnerable to being hit. And I promise you, you know, your game will change. When you throw strikes in, then your jiu-jitsu will change too. So every now and again, you know, I'd encourage, you know, practitioners to do that. Because, look, for me and, you know, hopefully for for people out there, it's like you want to know that you can protect yourself. Mm. If, you know, something comes along, learn how to clinch and take someone down properly. Learn how to establish a good position and stay there. So I think those things in your training are important. So every now and again, throw in some slaps and stuff like that. And it's fun. It's good fun. And it'll change your jiu-jitsu a bit when it comes to that too.
Yeah, I can see
and that. Actually, just on that, Ivan, you would have seen a massive change as well with the MMA scene in Australia since you started, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the athletes are incredible, Kim, you know. Like UFC and, you know, what they're doing for the sport and everything is amazing. And, I mean, you know, again, you look at, for me anyway, when I watch the guys that are fighting and the jiu-jitsu that they're bringing, you know, now into the UFC and everything, there's a simplicity about it that seems to come out more than something that's too technical in the sense of, you know, crazy moves. But you know, it all adds, you know, it's great. People are interested in jiu-jitsu. They're interested in stand-up. It all brings into, you know, martial arts, and it's just betters our lives, you know?
For sure. We're nearly out of time. Do you have any final words, any parting thoughts for our listeners?
Oh, geez, just keep training, guys, you know. Be safe out there, you know. Don't be afraid to tap, you know. It's like don't get injured, you know. Train hard, push yourselves, you know, and have that mindset of, like, I'm not going to give up, you know. So it's a good way to be and live, you know.
I love that, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Thanks so much for sharing yourself with us, man. You definitely – like, you're still in the game. That's super inspirational. You've been around for a long time doing this, and that's what I want to do. I want to do it till I can't do it anymore. So thank you much for being so awesome, man.
No worries, Anton. My pleasure, man. My pleasure.
Awesome. And we finally, I can put to rest some of those listeners that keep hounding me, asking me, get Ivan on, hurry up and get Ivan on. So, yeah, finally we are doing this. So we'll have this episode out in a couple of weeks, a week after next. If you could share it on your social media, that would be awesome for us because, we're slowly building a following, but it's a bit slow, so we'd love to have more followers. So thank you, everyone. Awesome. We will try and get some merchandise out as well to everybody. We'll send some links up for that. And, thank you very much. Keep being awesome. Thanks, Ivan.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks. Thanks, Anton.
Thanks, Ivan.
Cheers, guys.
Back at ditch. Catch you later. Bye-bye.
Okay. Pleasure, guys.
Guys.